Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Say to you, Rod.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. And to you Canadian sports fans around the globe, welcome into the bunker out here in beautiful Western Canada, where it's snowy but not cold. That's a nice combination. I'm your host, Rod Peterson. Are you ready, Clark? He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. It's like, I'm the Dynamite Kid. He's the British Bulldog.
Whoa, I like it.
I hope people at home understand how great this costume truly is.
Would you just stop it? He's new to the rules here. That's Daryl Rommel just jumping into the deep end already. How you doing, Bandit?
I was doing fine until that happened.
Chastised.
To me.
Yeah. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween. It is October the 31st, and it is episode number 106 of the program. We will be recognizing famous number sixes on the program today in honor of 106. The only one I wrote down should be pretty obvious to you guys who that might be. Rob Bagg. And then we'll just go from there through audience participation. But I didn't dress up. These two guys did.
What do you mean two guys did?
Well, clearly with an outfit like that, you're dressed up as something. But
whatever takes the attention away from my face, Rob. That's what I'm dressed up as.
Darren DuPont, do you want to go? Do you want to roll? Are we?
We just play the picture. No?
Pull the microphone up to your mouth. Sorry. If you don't mind. Are you new with this?
It's my first time.
What are you dressed as, Darren?
Well, you know, when you pay a quarterback $30 million,
That's not bad. That's
good.
And he doesn't win any football games, and you won't let a guy like Bo Levi Mitchell, who's been so good.
That is pretty good.
Something your like voice that. Even cracked.
I tried.
Like Remples does.
I tried.
When he goes on a rant.
I hate Kirk Cousins today. I woke up hating Kirk Cousins. I don't know why. Never happened before, but I woke up and I couldn't stand him.
It says Kelly Remple on the screen. It's actually Darren DuPont as Kelly Remple. And we've got Daryl Rommel here from CTV Regina as the Bandit.
That's really
and
cool.
I noticed this morning you did not dress up for Halloween, or did I? Did you for some portion on the CTV Morning Live?
Portion. I was an astronaut for portions. When you read the news, you have to be serious. You have to wear the suit and tie thing.
That's actually why I don't wear a jersey on here. So many people have asked, why don't you wear a jersey? Heaven knows I got a million of them. Mm-hmm. Who's going to take me seriously as Joe Fan sitting here behind with any kind of reaction to sports?
I'm sorry. I'm so distracted by this.
Okay, well, I'll just keep talking here then.
Whatever's going on.
I'll talk
here.
To myself. So this is the rollout for Flooring Superstore and Trent Dickett and the crew over there. Obviously, we got a lot of CFL fans and viewers tuning in this morning for, I guess, the further take on the Andrew Harris situation, which has turned into a situation. This has turned into a days-long controversy. It started Tuesday with the should Andrew Harris be considered for most outstanding player nomination with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as top Canadian or team MVP. Then the awards came out on Wednesday, and he didn't win either. Willie Jefferson won the Bombers MVP, Mike Miller the Canadian. Those two players issued statements or tweets and said that they will accept them on behalf of Andrew Harris. And then the media came out, and I know I'm kind of being redundant here because you all know the story, but the people that would not vote for Andrew Harris for these awards in the Winnipeg media, mostly newspaper guys, but also Darren Bombing from TSN 1290, who's no stranger to this program, all said they didn't vote for him because of the steroid violation and the suspension he served in August. The voice of the Bombers, Bob Irving, came out and said that he proudly voted for Andrew Harris and basically said, he's served his sentence. It's time for everybody to move on. And that everybody's welcome to their take, but it has gotten very loud. It's gotten very ugly with reaction. A lot of people pointing the finger at the Canadian Football League Bomber fans. Dave Naylor from TSN saying that the rule needs to be changed. And if I may paraphrase, and I hope I get this right, that this is on the CFL that this situation happened in the first place. Because in the NFL, somebody who's fallen victim to a violation such as this is not eligible for year-end awards. Don't point the finger at the Canadian Football League. Nobody, and certainly not Winnipeg, As I said in the rant yesterday, you have to take your punishment really like a man. Take your responsibility. And I'm not sitting here on holy ground. I've been disciplined more times than I've got fingers and toes to count. Take it, take your lumps, put your head down and move on. Now, and I'm still paying for some of those things, but it's not up to me to determine when they're over. Just like it's not up to Andrew Harris or Bob Irving to determine when the punishment's over. So for it to last this season, I think that's right. Coming back next season, potentially a different story. But CFL players are all weighing in on this. They're weighing in on our take on it. And, you know, they brought up Charleston Hughes and his DUI last year. That's the problem. It was last year. I think he's served his sentence, guys.
Yeah.
Don't you? And by the way, I'm not necessarily saying I'm right, but I do have a lot of Bomber fans that do say you're right, Rod. So that's my take. But I think it's take the punishment, because he's never once said, I did it. Not once.
No.
Has he said that he knowingly took this and nobody believes him in the first place. And now the story continues and they continue to defend him and it's just making them look bad.
Tom Brady never once said that he deflated footballs, but there are several people out there that think he's guilty. How long is the sentence until you move on? Pete Rose
well, the NFL's
been on
moved
baseballs,
on.
Baseball games years ago. Should he be in the Hall of Fame based on his statistics? Absolutely he should be. How long is long enough? That's the real question here. And does Andrew Harris really need the award? I don't know if he needs the award.
Well, there'd be bonuses for it, and why would he not
want it?
Why would he not want it? His name goes on the trophy. But because he got caught for a steroid violation, that nullifies him from contention. Sorry, go ahead, Derek.
No, it's true. I think this is the opportunity for the reporters to get their this is their chance to say, look, we don't agree with it. This isn't in the spirit of the game, and I can't vote for you. And as Darren Balming told us, his integrity, likes Andrew Harris, respects him as a person, respects him as a player, but his integrity wouldn't let him vote for him for the year-end award. So to me, it's the reporters and the people who vote that said, okay, this is our chance to do it. I think now he's served his punishment. But you're right. You don't get to choose when the court of public opinion lets you off the mat.
But the real trophy he wants is handed out November 23rd.
Sure. But they should be talking about that, Daryl, not pissing and moaning about why he didn't get these awards.
Move on.
Why are we talking about it then, Rod? We're still here, you know what I mean?
But you take your punishment, you move on. And now I think he's eligible. I mean, obviously he can win the Grey Cup. If he performs well in that game and is the MVP or most outstanding Canadian, he's playing in the game. He's eligible for those awards. I completely think that. But this is something that's voted on. And if people don't agree with his conduct during the year, he's still getting punished. But just accept it and move on. Like, that's the biggest thing here, is you did the crime. You were found guilty. So you have to accept the punishment.
Yep.
And you can't control how people feel. You have to give them time to get over it.
And my last take on this, and I was on Winnipeg Media this morning saying it, I think if it's just because it is a Bomber that the Bomber fans are defending him. If it was a Rider in this exact same situation, everybody from Winnipeg would be pointing their finger over here. Because it's your guy, however, and that includes Bob Irving. They're supporting him, and I think it's sort of a blinder thing. Blue glasses, if you will. Blue goggles.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make you right. And I wish they could see the other side of the story. And by the way, our daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, should Andrew Harris be considered for Most Outstanding Player Awards given his steroid violation? Already hundreds of votes into this. 89% say no. 89% say he should not be. So, yeah, there's an uproar in Winnipeg over the fact that he was left off the ballot. But that's that's the way that it is. And maybe open your mind to that. Now, to the morning headlines, Howie Kendrick and Anthony Rendon homered in the seventh inning as the Washington Nationals rallied past the Houston Astros 6-2 in Game 7 last night to claim their first ever World Series title. Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, and the Nats brought the World Series championship to the American Capitol since Walter Johnson delivered the crown. It's the first one for the Senators in Washington in 1924. And I'll just pause there for a second here on the rollout for Flooring Superstar and ask you guys if you did watch it. I did. And because of this Expos tattoo that I have, figuratively, not literally.
Oh, I was going to ask.
It was actually like a gut punch to me. And I was watching it with my wife, and I thought, those are the Expos winning the World Series. And I thought about the team that I grew up watching and loved. Al Oliver, Bill Spaceman Lee, Gary Carter, Tim Raines, Andre Dawson, all those guys. This is the Expos. Now, I understand that's just me, because even Montreal hates the Washington Nationals, and I don't think there will be a World Series parade in Montreal, because they're still pissed at Washington for not only taking the Expos away, but then turning their back on Montreal. But it doesn't mean I can't feel the way that I felt. And that was choked up a little bit that my Expos won the World Series. What was you guys take?
I was an Expos fan just like you until the lockout of 94. I became so disenfranchised, and I was only like 11 years old, so I petered out of baseball, and I got back into it later and became a Red Sox fan, and that's why people out there pick on me very easily and very rightfully so. For me, I was happy that this year, for the first year, they acknowledged their past. In previous years, they never once mentioned the Montreal Expos. They didn't wear throwback jerseys, kind of like Carolina, the Hurricanes. Finally wore the Hartford Whalers jerseys, and they said, listen, this is a part of who we are. The fact that they wore those this year and embraced that, I think that was a good omen for them going forward. And congratulations to them. They were the best team in baseball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and pretty cool, too. The way that, you know, the Astros have the great bullpen, and that's what ended up kind of losing the game for them, for the Nationals. But it is neat. I don't think there's enough correlation between the Expos and the Nationals. We don't talk about it a lot, but it is neat, and I hope people are happy a little bit. Kind of feels good that we remember the Expos a little bit.
That stat is incredible, though. Justin Verlander, 0-6 in World Series starts. Yeah. For as great as he is. My goodness.
And home teams all time now, 19-21 in Game 7s of the World Series.
First time in World Series history.
The road teams won every game.
Every single game.
World Series. First time in NBA, NHL, or MLB history, wow. Which is even wilder.
I didn't know that.
That the road team won every... I have been following it. I am a baseball fan, believe it or not. I just can't watch every inning 162 times a year. I just can't do it. A rash tweeting last night. Oh, so baseball's boring? He tweeted that. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like writing him and going, Arash, it's one game out of the year that is exciting. So cool it. But anyways, I get that he was caught up in the moment. He was there at Minute Maid Park. Speaking of Houston, and we're going there, I got lined up one guest. Well, I got several lined up, but a new one, Darren, and that is Garrick Jones.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys remember him, former NFL lineman, Winnipeg Blue Bomber lineman. He's going to be joining us, but I didn't know where. What's the name of the place we're doing the show? Do you remember?
No, it's right across, though, like really close to the hotel.
I told him it's right downtown.
Yeah.
I'll get you details. So that's pretty cool.
That's
awesome.
He's
very active in the NFL alum. Garrick Jones in Houston will be joining us on our show. Moving on. And I know we're running out of time in the warm-up here, but substitute Nick DeLeon scored in the 78th minute as Toronto FC rallied to beat defending champion Atlanta United FC by a score of 2-1 in the MLS Eastern Conference Final. Toronto advances to face the Seattle Sounders in the MLS Cup Final on November the 10th. And I don't mind reading MLS scores and talking about it. Well, we're not going to talk about the games, but I'll give them the pub. But we are not going to talk about European soccer here. We'll be talking about the NLL once it fires up. And again, sports that matter to Western Canadians, not European soccer. Are you guys in agreement with that?
I'm in agreement with that. I always want to caution, right? I mean, we've had some soccer on here for
not
sure.
Saying I'm anti-soccer.
It is the biggest sport in the world.
I'm saying I'm pro NLL. Yeah, you know what? And they can have the coverage. The NLL MLS. Doesn't get the coverage.
That's true. Yeah,
that's the point.
That's true.
Yeah.
Those guys work hard for very little money.
For sure.
So that's what we'll be covering here and training camp starting next week. Carey Price stopped 33 shots. Brendan Gallagher and Shea Weber scored in the opening minute of the first two periods, and the Montreal Canadiens rolled to a 4-1 win over the Arizona Coyotes. Last night, Leon Draisaitl had two goals and a helper. Mike Smith stopped 23 shots, and the Oilers pounded the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-1 last night. Leon's second goal, his team leading 12th of the season, chased Yunus Korpisalo, who had his second lackluster outing in a row in goal for the Blue Jackets. And Pascal Siakam, Spicy P, scored 30 points. Fred Van Fleet added 13 points and 11 assists, and the Toronto Raptors beat the Detroit Pistons 125-113 last night. So there are some topics to get rolling on today on the program. We'll get more into the CFL, more on Andrew Harris. The CHL top 10 is out, and there's a new WHL team atop the Dub rankings. That and more coming up. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Oh, you did?
He's booked it.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Caliber Coffee on this Thursday morning, episode 106. Recognizing famous number sixes, and that's got me thinking. I got to go to the Prairie Mobile text line, and to Saskatoon we go. It says, it's Brady in Saskatoon at 840-8777. Happy Halloween, Rod. It's Brady. Number sixes, Rob Bagg, Shea Weber, Baker Mayfield. Can we talk about him? You guys are big NFL fans,
Baker
right?
Baker Mayfield?
We're going to talk about Baker Mayfield. Bill Russell, LeBron James. My phone's ringing. Bill Russell, LeBron James, Patrick Ewing, Julius Erving, Marcus Stroman. Brady checking in from my school library in Saskatoon.
You know what I'm thinking? Brady, send that text in earlier. We should give Brady a segment of the pre-show where we give Brady's, Brady's picks for episode
106. Oh, he would love it.
Wouldn't that be great?
As a matter of fact, Brady sent me a picture. He was trying to carve a couple of RP show pumpkins last night and absolutely mutilated them.
Ooh.
It didn't turn out the way he wanted, but he sent me a picture of the mutilated pumpkins. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, yes. Sure, why not?
Your morning sports update. As part of the CFL's ongoing partnership with the Liga de Football Americano Profesional, LFA, at least 16 Canadians will be selected to join Mexico's premier professional football league at the first ever LFA Canadian draft on Friday. That's tomorrow. The 8-member clubs of the LFA will select a minimum of 2 players to fill reserved roster spots for Canadians during the upcoming 2020 Mexican pro football season. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
WHL announced that Spokane Chiefs captain Ty Smith will serve as captain for Team WHL at the 2019 CIBC Canada-Russia Series. In addition, the Dub announced that Vancouver Giants defenseman Bowen Byram, Lethbridge forward Dylan Cozens, and Kelowna Rockets forward Nolan Foote will serve as alternate captains for Team WHL. The Dub takes on the Russians November 13th in Saskatoon and November 14th in PA. Morning sports update for The Tap Eatery, Regina's only drive-through liquor store. Isn't that what they said?
Yeah. And just one, you know, I don't know if this wasn't in the update, but Kirby Doc, if you saw, not coming back to
Hickory
Saskatoon.
Dickory Doc.
The Blackhawks said they're going to keep him long-term now. So it's exciting news for the kid and tough news for the Blades.
I'm actually really happy you brought that up, and I meant to put that in my notes for the rollout. What does this do to the Saskatoon Blades?
It does cause some problems in terms of, okay, now what are we going to do with this team? Really good back end. Of course, they're great in goal. They've got some talent up front, but they were just missing that little extra, that top high-end scoring punch, and that's what Kirby Doc brought. And you bring him back, and you maybe look at one move, and all of a sudden, this team becomes that team we expected early in the year, or in the preseason with the high rankings, you know, number 3 nationally and all that kind of stuff. You need that kind of top line. They're just missing that right now, the elite level top line.
So. Craig and Regina obviously missed the rollout because he's written in and says, DuPont, are you supposed to be Rod in 20 years? Can you please tell the viewers what your Halloween costume is?
Show the picture again. That was
okay. Can you throw that up?
Oh my god.
The Silver Fox and Darren DuPont. What do they say? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Oh, I think so. And Kelly was supposed to be here today, so we were supposed to be in the chairs side by side. That's where it came from.
That would have been great.
I thought I'd give him a laugh. So it almost works, too, that he wasn't supposed to be here, so I'm sitting in for him.
Moving on, well, sort of, just to the CHL Top 10, which was announced yesterday. Sherbrooke is number one in all of Canadian junior hockey. Sherbrooke. Just outside of Montreal. The highest-rated WHL team is Edmonton at number two. The Prince Albert Raiders are number four. The Everett Silvertips number nine. And an honorable mention to Portland. So the Saskatoon Blades opened the season as the number one-ranked team in the land before they'd even played a game. And now they really can't be found, even with a GPS, when it comes to the top 10. Now, moving on to the CFL, because I know that's what people have tuned in for. And I thank all the CFL players that have either agreed or disagreed with me in their reaction on social media. It seems like if they're from Winnipeg, they disagree. If they're anywhere else, they agree. Doesn't that say something?
Mm-hmm.
This all smacks to me, guys, of the Bombers focusing on the wrong thing. Like, it reminds me of the 2008 Grey Cup, when at the Player Awards, Henry Burris got snubbed and made all the noise that he got snubbed as most outstanding player. But he did go out and win a Grey Cup the next day over the Alouettes in Olympic Stadium that day. So maybe the Bombers are more focused than we think, but Daryl, I'll start with you, your take on their take on the snub of Andrew Harris. And if they've got a chance here to win a Grey Cup, despite all the, honestly, it seems like a team in turmoil to me.
You've been around the league a lot longer than I have. I'm looking at it kind of like it's bulletin board material for them. Look, the league disrespects us. Other players disrespect us. The sports media disrespects us. Let's go out and prove them wrong. Their big question right now is at quarterback. Is Zach Collaros going to be good enough to lead them through the playoffs? Is he going to be healthy enough to lead them through the playoffs? Or is Chris Streveler going to have to be their guy? I think they have a lot more things to focus on than a single individual player award. I think their focus has to be on finding a way to win football games.
And maybe it is.
It could be.
But it just doesn't look that way. And the one thing I heard,
right?
Well, about this tempest in a teapot that boiled over yesterday in Winnipeg was that Mike O'Shea was not available for comment because the Bombers are on a bye week, which makes sense. So I don't know where their focus is. I can tell you where it looks, where their focus is.
My question is that, like, did Andrew Harris and did the Bomber players find out about this the same time the rest of us did? Or did somebody have the foresight to go in there and say, look, you didn't get voted?
It very much appears that way.
And let's figure out how we're going to handle this. And you know what? This is why it was expected. Like, don't be surprised. Our goal is the Grey Cup. And guess your punishment's not over, but you kind of had to assume that that was coming or know that it was coming or just know that it was a possibility. That's my question is, you know, if they found out the same time the rest of us did when the press release went out, because that's what it sounds like, because they're reacting to the news. They should have known prior to the start of the day.
Well, I mean, the Bombers, their PR guy, Darren Cameron, who you would know, Bandit, I'm sure, is one of the best in the business. Yeah. And I'm sure that before those award winners went to the media and went to the world, he would have known. I'm sure he would have told those players. They issued statements, right? Willie tweeted, and Mike Miller issued a statement from the club. So they knew that morning, but maybe the team didn't find out till that morning. I don't think they knew the night before for the sake of keeping it a secret and not being scooped. But it just smacks to me that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are focused on the wrong things at the most important time of the year. And in a lot of ways this year, guys, it's that old phrase, and I don't know who is responsible for the quote, but act like you've been there before. Even though the Bombers haven't been there before, act like it. Because they seem like a team that is not on the same page going into the playoffs, i.e., one thing I did hear from O'Shea, I think it was on the coach's show on CJOB the other night, that he won't name a starting quarterback yet for the playoff game, which also is his right. But is it anybody other than Zach Collaros? Is that even a discussion?
I don't know if it is. Honestly, if Zach Collaros is healthy and he shows glimmers of that 2015 Zach Collaros that we all cling to, that memory of how good he was with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, he's your guy. And as long as he's healthy enough and he's up to speed enough on that playbook, he's the guy you have to go with. Because Chris Streveler, most of the time, is a one-dimensional quarterback.
Well, who would I rather have as my back? To be honest, I'd rather have Chris Trevler as my backup anyway.
I'd rather have him as my fullback.
Over Zach Kolaros, though, because he brings the change of pace. He brings that excitement and the ability to keep defenses honest by using his legs to really shift the game plan. If Kolaros is healthy, think they've got a really nice 1-2 combination that they can be happy with. But it has to be Kolaros 1 and Strevler 2.
Moving on, I feel like this is like PTI. Ding, ding, topics. Yeah. Ding. So not only are some people upset at Jason Mazz, the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, for sitting down Trevor Harris for this Saturday's game at Saskatchewan. Clearly the Riders are not. But I guess the Calgary Stampeders are upset at them for doing that, because Calgary would kind of like Edmonton to put up a fight in here on Saturday and not just roll out the welcome mat.
Yeah.
For the Riders to capture first place. And apparently, from what I heard from Winnipeg media sources this morning, is that the Bombers aren't that pleased that Trevor Harris is being sat down for Saturday's game. And I love what Jason Mazz said. Where did he say it? I think that was on Ched this week, the coach of the Eskimos. That's where he did say it. He's like, I don't care what Calgary thinks. I don't care what anybody else thinks. And if, you know, what they can control, what they can control, they can't control what we do. And I'm doing what's best for my team. And I just love Jason Mazz. Known him for a long time. He's coaching for his life here. He's doing what he thinks is best. Do those teams, guys, that would be the next topic, I guess, have the right to be upset at the Eskimos for sitting their quarterback in this game?
Jason Mazz has got the cattle prod, and he just went to the Bombers, and he went to the Stampeders, and then he said, okay, I'm going to the East. You guys have fun. You guys do your thing.
Fight amongst each other.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks, right? And, you know, hoping that they'll beat each other up and they'll, you know, get these tough, tough matchups. And, you know, for Calgary, I get it. They'd love Saskatchewan to have a tough game and then go into a semifinal or the final and be a little banged up potentially, because you got this, you know, a game where it matters. But now you kind of assume that we're going to get through the game healthy. The Riders will, and the Eskimos will get through healthy. And, you know, they're going to sit there and have to play in a semifinal potentially and be banged up. And if everybody else is mad, it doesn't really affect Edmonton. They can sit back and see you later.
With all due respect, you don't know that the Riders are going to come through it.
No, for sure.
Completely healthy, because now you've got second string guys that are going to come in. They're hungry. They're a little bit excited. Maybe they miss assignments and they clip a guy, you know, that kind of thing. The real victim in this is the fans that bought tickets for Saturday's game expecting to see a great football game and will probably see a lopsided victory. I know there are Rider fans out there that love lopsided victories. Love you guys too. But I would rather see a really good football game against two teams. He has the absolute right to sit down his players. His fate was sealed a couple of weeks ago. He knew where he's going. He's going to Montreal, and he needs the best team on the field that day. He doesn't need it this week. He has the absolute right.
I'm sorry, but welcome to pro sports in 2019. What about load management in the NBA? There's been times that I've gone to NBA games expecting to see Steve Nash or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James.
They passed rules about that, right?
I'm just saying it's happened.
Yeah.
Right? And in the CFL, you game 18, you get what you get. When has it ever really meant anything? For years, that last game. And I may be completely wrong, but it just seems like that last game, everything's sewn up by now.
I'm with you.
So you get what you get. Now, there's a lot of great comments coming in here this morning. Wayne in Victoria, BC says, who is O'Shea trying to fool by not announcing his starter? He's trying to fool all of us. And the thing is, it might not be an act. He might not literally know, as we sit here today, who he's going to start as quarterback. And we don't know what's going on in that Winnipeg locker room. We don't. And, you know, after they acquired Zach Kolaros, O'Shea stands at the podium and says, this is Chris Strebler's team. Well, is it still 2 weeks later? Is it still Chris Strebler's team? It might be. Would you be entirely surprised if the Bombers trotted out Chris Strebler on their opening series of the playoffs? It would not surprise me.
No.
Not at all.
But what advantage does Mike O'Shea get at announcing his starter now?
No, nothing.
What disadvantage? Like, you know, there's no advantage to be gained, so why announce it now? Just sit back. They know who's starting. I would assume they've made up their mind. I would assume that they have, or he's got a pretty good idea of who's starting the football game, and they're preparing. But the other teams, you know, whether it's going to be Saskatchewan or Calgary, you know, why give them the opportunity to know who's going to start that football game? Doesn't make sense, especially when you have two very different quarterbacks.
You're making them do extra homework, right, is what you're doing, and you're playing with their mind a little bit. If you're the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, you're going against the guy you gave up on and gave away. He's got a real burr in his saddle to come back in here and win. You got to think that. Chris Strebler, to me, I think you got to play him at least a little bit in that football game, in every football game, because he's such a good runner. I don't think he's a great, phenomenal passer. I think he has a fairly okay command of the playbook at this point. But with the ball in his hands, he's such a big body. He's a quick guy. He's fearless. I think you have to have him in there at some point.
Well, we're 10 days out from the Western semifinals or division semifinal Sunday in the CFL. And I'm not convinced the Bombers know who their starting quarterback is. Now, the other thing I heard this morning is that the Bomber players were all told on this bye week, you're not allowed to leave the city, which is also their right. Right? It's not holiday time. So even though they're on a bye and the players are in the city, the coaches are in their office. And you may be right. They might know who their starting quarterback is. But I also know in my time in pro football, I've known of coordinators who at halftime have said, I don't know who my quarterback is to start the second half, from an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So it's that much. It can be that much of a fly-by-night situation. Now, I'm not sure what's going on in Winnipeg,
yep.
But that might be it. By the way, back to the Moz thing for a second. What's it going to take for him to save his job as head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos? Because I think it's going to take a win in Montreal. If they go to Montreal on the crossover and lose, he's gone no matter what. But if he wins just that game and they advance to the East Final in Hamilton, I think he's got a really good chance of saving his job. Am I all wet? How do you guys read that situation?
I read it by just questioning, do you think that's enough? And that's how much in jeopardy I think it is. Unfortunately, the fit just doesn't seem to be right for whatever reason. I think they've got to get to a Grey Cup. I really do. I think anything short, not of winning, but I think anything short of getting to the Grey Cup, I think everybody will be disappointed still, and he'll be gone. Just my guess.
Who's out there? That's the other question. They got to find out who's available to bring in. If there's nobody better, you stick with Jason Moss because he's a pretty good football coach. But if there is a better alternative out there and you want to take a try with somebody different, I'm with you. If they lose in Montreal, he's probably gone.
There's no doubt. And I, again, read the Athletic column that I have to pay for. The weekly column by Kirk Penton in Winnipeg, where he anonymously quotes coaches and GMs. I don't know if you guys read that or not. A lot of my friends do, and we screenshot the quotes and send them around what guys are saying about each other. Frankly, I think it's absolutely horrible that these guys are allowed to anonymously rip on people, but it's a gossip rag, I guess.
Yeah.
And the rumors that were floating around amongst anonymously quoted coaches and GMs in the CFL is that, and you're not going to believe this. I didn't hear these rumors, and I think I'm pretty plugged in. That Paul Lapolis will be the head coach of the Halifax team. Tillman will be the general manager, which I'm still not convinced there's even going to be a team there. The more and longer this goes, I don't even think there will be, so I think you can toss that out. And the rumor is also that Ed Hervey in BC, who according to these guys will never take the blame himself, is going to fire his coordinators, at least one. And maybe Jarius Jackson would be that one. And Jason Moss will come in there after being fired in Edmonton. And he'll be the offensive coordinator in BC. Can you believe this?
We need a board. I'm trying to follow.
Yeah, oh, I know. But this is the talk of how things go in the CFL. And it's true, by the way, when you're in a market that's not going to the playoffs, and there are three of them, Toronto, Ottawa, and BC, well, you're not talking about this week's games. You're talking about next season. Mm-hmm. So you can see how this stuff comes up, right?
Big time. And I do think that that's very realistic. I love Jason Moss as an offensive coordinator. I love his offensive mind. I love the way he's able to, you know, appears to be able to work with quarterbacks and get the most out of his offense. We saw that in Ottawa. We've seen that in Edmonton at times. I mean, Trevor Harris was, you know, the leading quarterback in the league before he got hurt. So I do think that there's a lot of value there. I would love to see him in BC with Mike Riley. I think that would be really, really cool as an offensive coordinator.
I feel the way you feel about Corey Chamberlain as a defensive coordinator. I think he's such a brilliant defensive mind. I don't know if he's the guy to lead a franchise. The other thing we haven't touched on, guys, is that the XFL is coming in, right? They're stealing a lot of really good coaches. That's where Mark Trestman is. That's where some brilliant, brilliant football minds have gone. So who's going to be available? I go back to that.
Remind me of that. Clark has just written on the monitor, are Moz and Hervey old Eskimos teammates? And they are. And I believe that they are friends. And I like Ed Hervey. I've said it many, many times. There's a lot of people that don't. But Ed's honest. He says what he believes. He may not always be right. But at least you know where he's coming from. He shoots from the hip. Nobody else? You know anybody else like that?
It's pretty rare in sports.
Right, but I appreciate that with Ed. You know where you're coming from with Ed. And some of my best friends, one being Jason Greger from TSN Edmonton in radio in Edmonton, Jason Greger, him and Ed are super tight. And Jason says he's a great guy. And I think Ed Hervey knows what he's doing. He's already built a Grey Cup championship team. He did it, 2015 with the Edmonton Eskimos. So I think Ed Hervey knows what he's doing. A lot of people don't like him. Who cares? I know Ed doesn't. A lot of people don't like me. I guarantee you, I don't care. Ty writing and says, Roddy, is the Athletic subscription worth it for a casual reader? I would say no. And I think about it every week. I paid $75 for the year for one column a week. And that is Kirk Pentin's CFL column. And I flip-flop in my mind, am I going to cancel this subscription for next year or not? But then I think I can afford $75 for a good column from Kirk Pentin. But as far as all the NFL stuff and all the NHL coverage, I can get it elsewhere. It's fake news. It's like handicapping this year's Calder Trophy nominees. It's not even, well, I guess it is Halloween, but it's still October. What are you handicapping the Rookie of the Year candidate? It's fake news.
That's not fake news. That's content.
It's fake news. There's a difference. Well, there's it's a difference content. Between it's good opinion. Content and bad content.
It's opinion is right. What it is. It's not fake news. It's not throwing stuff out there without any backing. It's opinion. So it's not fake news.
I think fake news and opinion are the same thing.
I get what you're saying. It's trying to generate some conversation and give people something to talk about and, you know, get excited about ranking their players for sure. And we are also in this world of, you know, we got to get clicks and we got to get hits and we have to keep providing more and more content. But I get where you're coming from too. You want to see more news and more information that's real and means something today. But yeah, I don't know. I think the Athletic's doing a really good job at trying to, you know, find a system that works in media in this new era and also trying to connect with the younger demographic too.
Well, the question was, is it worth it? And you guys don't have it, no. Right? So for me, is it worth it? For CFL coverage, I bought it for one column a week and I've just told you why.
Yeah.
Do I regret it? I go 50-50 on that. Is it worth it for if you're a follower of other leagues? I don't think so.
Take a 1 month free trial.
But the other thing is the NHL Insiders panel on SportsCenter. When it comes on, I change the channel. And I'll tell you why. That's all fake news. It's you know, who are the top 10 names who may be traded at the deadline? And you're doing it now? Daryl's just looking at me like you're crazy.
I get really heated when people talk about fake news because that's how I make my living, right?
In fake news?
No, in news. In real backed content. And I see what you're saying. What you're referring to is more of an editorial comment, right? An editorial assignment in a magazine or what have you. It's not fake. It's opinion, right? Fake news, by definition, is an untrue statement, right? Saying...
The president will be impeached.
Whatever that is. The president may be impeached is more correct, right? It's a whole... It gets me fired up. It's not what this show is all about, right?
Actually, it is.
Getting fired up. It's exactly what
it is. Fired up, yes, but not...
It's a morning coffee discussion, and if we were sitting at Perk and Taps right now, we'd be going down that road. Because I'd like to know what your definition of fake news is. Because Justin Duncan and I got in a huge argument over this.
Untrue, unsubstantiated.
Yeah, well, there's a hell of a lot out there. Sorry to tell you, man.
Oh, I'm aware there is.
Right.
I'm aware there is.
It's what pisses you off about it.
The fact that people nowadays seem to choose their own facts in certain situations.
Who are you mad at? The people or the people that are generating the fake news?
That goes situation by situation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of times where somebody reads the headline, but they don't read the article.
That's quite often.
And they don't get the background, right? Yeah. And then they make an opinion.
See?
do the homework. I just ask people to do the homework.
I'm with you on that. It's clickbait, right? We need headlines to grab people's attention to click in, but we don't have the attention span to go past the headline. So we take the headline as being the truth and the facts, and it's not always
sure. I don't like it either.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's out there.
But you're more, tell me when something's happened. And I want to know when it's happened. I don't care about the speculation. And it's the guys who loved
the terminology
hockey buzz and Eklund's rumors every single day.
Mike Babcock and Austin Matthews not getting along. Who cares? Is he scoring or is he not scoring? That's fake news to me. Because you're never going to know the truth.
Yeah.
Anyways, we have to break right as... I see the sizzle coming across the screen here because Eric Grima.
Phil, I'm not saying what my boss wants me to say.
NHL veteran, Saskatoon product, Eric Grima joins us next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday morning, episode 106 of the Rod Peterson Show. We are welcoming your suggestions for famous number sixes. I haven't written them all down. I started with Rob Bagg. Shea Weber came up. Rob Vanstone joins us in the bunker here, Hall of Fame columnist. How are you? You're in my Hall of Fame, RB.
Well, thank you, and reciprocally as well.
Thank you.
Congratulations to us both on our inductions.
How about Jim fake Kite? Yeah, fake news. Jim Kite, number six for
Jim
the Winnipeg
Kite,
Jets?
Number six. Why does Warren Jones come to mind instantly?
Because you're disturbed with Ryder history.
Let's go with Warren Jones.
Warren Jones. What a forgettable era that was. Did the Warren Jones era make the 100 things every Ryder fan should know?
No, it didn't. But Warren Jones actually got me the Liverpool sports columnist job. It was early in the 96 season, and I wrote a column in the Regina Sun, as it was known at the time. I had a weekly sports column in there, yep. And I wrote a column on the Ryder quarterbacking situation about Warren Jones in particular. Bob Hughes liked the column, and he decided we're going to
move you in there,
move you into the Leader Post sports columnist spot. And it was because of a column I wrote on Warren Jones.
It's amazing. Wow.
You never know.
You owe your career to Warren Jones.
Yes, a very nice man too.
Is Eric Greiba ready? All right, he's sitting here listening. We'll pick up on the fake news discussion in a moment with RV and the bandit Daryl Rommel, but first, it's our honor. We've been trying to get this guy for a while. Saskatoon product, veteran of 289 NHL games with Ottawa, Edmonton, and New Jersey, and former Melfort Mustang Eric Greiba joins us this morning. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, Rod. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. And excited about your life. Particularly the Kindersley Clippers Senior Hockey Club, who tweeted that you've joined them. Can you talk about that, and have you played a game yet with the Senior Clippers?
Yeah, I actually played one last Saturday, their home opener. Yeah, I had some mutual friends kind of reach out around the team and ask if I wanted to join, and I thought I'd give hockey one more try.
Good for you. You know, it's funny because that documentary TSN's doing on the Kosers and the Clarks, I don't know if you saw that, but they talked about senior hockey in Saskatchewan. We all get it. Maybe a lot of people around the world don't, but this is real hockey, man. I mean, and you smiled this the second I brought it up. How excited are you to play in that league?
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, it's for me, it's getting back to having fun playing hockey again and, you know, hang out with the guys and a couple of beers after the game and some wings, and it's still competitive hockey. Obviously, you know, not professional by any means, but it's competitive hockey, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, I'll come back around on that for a second because I can't imagine what it's like for them to have you on the club and again, how much you're enjoying it. But every time I see an Instagram post of yours, you're standing over something you've shot. And you're usually in some sort of camo gear. So talk about your post-NHL life and what life is like right now for you.
Yeah, it's great. I get to spend more time with my family and my new daughter. And I get to hunt a lot more. And it's been nice. Been doing a bunch of waterfowl hunting and trying to get up for some big game here. And it's been relaxing and, you know, some well-deserved time off.
I understand that you do have an affiliation with Sask Snow Beef, which, by the way, is one of the sponsors of this program, Wagyu Beef, and our good friend Ian Crosby. What's your connection with those guys?
Yeah, no, Ian and I have been talking for a while since I've been doing my grilling show and my grilling on Instagram. We decided to collaborate on a couple things, and that product is unbelievable. The fact that you can get, you know, Wagyu marbling for that price point is absolutely incredible. So it's a good, unique Saskatchewan product, and couldn't be happier to be working with someone local.
7 years in the National Hockey League, too, by the way, for Eric Greiba. Did you want to jump in, RV? Or
sure. I've always found it so cool to think of the odds of people even getting to the National Hockey League. If you play one game in the National Hockey League, you are in such an upper percentile, yep, of hockey players. Even if you play one game in the Western Hockey League or the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, that's something that 90%+ of hockey players will never do. How cool is it to think that you not only made it there, but made it for as long as you did, considering the odds that you had to overcome simply by dressing once in the National Hockey League, let alone for 7 years?
Yeah, I mean, it was an honor for sure. A lot of hard work goes into it. Some fortuitous bounces for sure. It's such an honor to be able to call myself an NHL veteran and to be able to play with the players that I played with. I mean, I've been reminiscing a little bit the last little bit on who I got to play with. I mean, you know, starting out with my career with playing with like Daniel Alfredsson, Jason Spezza, Chris Phillips, you know, when I was with the Senators. And then now I can say I played with Draisaitl and McDavid and Nurse and like all those guys, and Paul and Nuge. And then, you know, guys like Zajac and Palmieri and Andy Green with the Devils. So, I mean, it's a pretty cool bunch of teammates that I've had, and, you know, really honored that I was able to do it for as long as I could.
You mentioned playing hockey again for fun, Eric. What kind of took the fun away? Was it the pressure? I would assume it's something like that, or what kind of rekindled your love for the game? What took it away?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, so many years of, you know, that wear and tear on your body, showing up to the rink every day and that immense pressure. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I enjoyed it. But just having, you know, waking up every morning and being chronically sore, is like I like to explain it, kind of just wore on me and started to take the fun out of it. Now I get to play once, maybe twice a week, and my body feels good and I'm enjoying it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, RV and even our viewers writing in about what kind of a humble guy you are. I know what kind of a great guy you are, even though we've never actually met, but I was at your golf tournament in Saskatoon. You were raising money for, it was the Children's Hospital, correct, in your hometown.
Yeah.
Jerks don't do that, Eric. That's something that you wanted to do and give back. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I've whenever I get the chance to give back to causes in the community, I like to. I mean, I'm in such a privileged spot, and hockey has given me so much and such an advantage. So, you know, when I can, I do like to give back to those who are a little less fortunate and give back to those causes which are helping support our community.
And tell us a little bit about your grilling show, if you don't mind. I'm somewhat fascinated by this.
Yeah, it's started on my Instagram. I was just messing around, cooking wild game and different things. And then I was approached by Wild TV if I wanted my own TV show. So now I have a TV show on Wild TV, and I hunt. And then whatever I hunt and harvest, I show people a cool new recipe on how to cook it.
Sounds to me like life is great. Would I be correct in that assumption?
You know, I have very few complaints at the moment.
Good, Eric. Well, okay. And the last thing. So what are you guys in? A? Are you AAA? Can't imagine you're B or C. Where should we be following the Kindersley Senior Clippers this year to see you in action?
I believe we're in A. I could be wrong.
Again, you just show up and play.
I just show up and play and drink their beer after the game. So that's what I know.
Another reason why life is great. Well, I got a lot of friends in Kindersley, so obviously following that closely, and we'll be following your grilling show, everything you're doing, Sass Snow Beef. Eric, we finally got you on the show. Thanks for this, and I hope we can do it again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Rob.
All right. 7-year NHL veteran Eric Greiba joining us from his home this morning, former Senator, Oiler, and Devil. And to me, just as proud as RV pointed out, a Melfort Mustang, because that's not easy to make that league either. Now, well, I'm going to switch this around to the Rough Riders. RV's got his book out. Is it now available, RV? It was November, you said, wasn't it?
It's supposed to be out widely in early to middle of next week. It's
okay.
At select places it's available. I know somebody ordered it on Amazon the other day, so
it's available there.
It's available there.
100 things Rough Rider fans should know and do before they die. It's Rob Vanstone's new book, very fortuitously timed to come out just before Christmas. And to the Rough Riders, RV, somebody asked the other day somebody in BC asked, why do we talk so much about the Bombers? And I said, they would prefer more rider talk. And I'm like, I get it, but there's nothing going on. There's no drama. Everything's going smooth. And as much as that's exactly what Jeremy O'Day and Craig Dickinson would like, it doesn't sell a lot of headlines, right? Like, they are ticking like a Swiss watch, it would seem, heading into the playoffs.
It does seem that way. Although we're talking a bit of history the way this week is unfolding, it's not very often that the Rough Riders have had an opportunity to win a game at home to clinch first place in the West in the final weekend of the regular season. In fact, 2009 was the first opportunity they ever had on the final weekend of the regular season to win at home and move on. They beat Calgary 30-14 on November 7th of 2009. They'd had five previous opportunities to clinch first place in the final weekend of the regular season. All of those took place on the road. So this is only the second time in Rider history that they've got a home game to punch their ticket to the West Final. I think that's amazing when you consider it. But sometimes nobody talks about the planes that land.
They don't.
And it's easy. You look at everything that's gone on in Winnipeg with the Andrew Harris situation, and should he be the most outstanding player, most outstanding Canadian? You look at the quarterbacking situation, even uncertainty about will Michael O'Shea be back next year, et cetera. There's a lot of storylines in Winnipeg, but things are going so smoothly here by and large that there's not the real headline grabbers, and there's not the exclamation points and the incredulity, perhaps, that there is in Winnipeg right now.
Shout out to Alan in Brooks, Alberta. That's my hometown right there.
What did he say?
He was just talking about the scenarios for Brooks. The playoffs, but he's from Brooks, and I'm from
Alan Brooks,
I just wanted to show him some love. That's all. I always sit here and marvel at the two of you, especially when you get together, because he didn't have to look that up. He didn't study that before he walked in this building. It just came off the top of his head, and you do the same thing.
I can tell you.
And I just sit here in awe. It's incredible.
But if you want practical information or something that's
there's none of that.
I mean, forget it.
Well, yeah. Well, and by the way, thank you, Clark, for putting this up on my prompt here. Alan in Brooks, Alberta, the home of Daryl Rommeld, says, being a Calgary Stampeders fan, I prefer the Calgary Stampeders to finish second in the West. In the past few years, the Stamps finishing first doesn't necessarily mean the Grey Cup. I think playing that extra game may help keep the cup in Calgary. And I think that's a very fair comment. And a couple things. One, to predict how things are going the rest of the way, don't ask me. Again, I was on a Winnipeg show this morning. They asked that, and I said I had the Riders picked to finish fourth. Come Labor Day, I amended that to second, and it looks like now they're going to be first. So I have no idea what's going to happen here. Jim Hobson was on In the Huddle with us on Tuesday night. He admitted to not seeing this coming. Nobody saw it coming. As a matter of fact, guy said to me today, the Riders should probably send a thank you card to Simone Lawrence. Because if Zach Caleros doesn't get knocked out, do we ever even see Cody Fajardo on the field?
And should the Bombers send him a thank you card as well?
Right.
Look at the impact he might have on the playoffs. But that's the beauty of sports. You don't know. You never
know. That's
why
we love it.
Why do people talk about the 89 Grey Cup so fondly? Not just because the Riders won it, but because they beat a 16-2 Edmonton team the week before to get there. Nobody would have thought that. You go to a movie, and as much as you enjoy the movie and the popcorn, responsible for my appearance. As much as you enjoy the movie, I think you know deep down that somehow the good guy is going to win. That's why I liked Rocky 1 so much, because Rocky didn't win. I thought, I didn't see that coming. I thought he beat Apollo Creed. Sorry for any spoiler. It's been 42 years.
If you haven't seen that movie over the last 30 years.
He won every other one, I think, didn't he? But it was like Soviet, it was like the Red Army team every other time. You knew the Red Army team.
Or Harlem Globetrotters.
For the Globetrotters. But that's what's great about sports. You never, ever know. If you get an opportunity, I think, to get to bye to the West Final, you do it. Look at 2013. What was the toughest test the Rough Riders had in the playoffs that year?
Semi.
It wasn't the West Final. That was a walk. It wasn't the Grey Cup. They led 31-6 at halftime. They were trailing the BC Lions by 9 points at home going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, I really
love... That was
the
tough one.
I've extolled the virtues of Brendan Tamman's column in your paper, and it's must-read material, as is yours, of course. But BT, as a guy who's been there, as a Grey Cup-winning general manager, pointed out in his column this week that everybody wants first, but be careful what you wish for, because it doesn't mean it's an easier road.
And don't
it's
presume.
Basically 50-50, right? You want it, but it doesn't mean that you have a better shot. You would think you would rather play one game than two, but you get what BT was saying in the column, right?
Yeah, nothing is guaranteed. And football is a one-game showdown, and so many goofy things can happen. And if you look at the last three Rider teams to finish first and the heartbreak they have experienced, 1970, they went 14-2. Ron Lancaster gets hurt, and they don't win the West semifinal, the best regular season record they've ever had. And they don't even get to the Grey Cup. And a mediocre Montreal team beats a mediocre Calgary team to win the Grey Cup. 1976, they finish first. They get Tony Gabriel again. 2009.
It's a verb now.
I don't even have to mention. It is, isn't it? You don't even have to mention 2009 and the circumstances. So that's not to say if the Riders finish first, this is going to happen again. But it does underline the fact that there's no certainties, even if you are a dominant team and you end up finishing first.
And then you have that whole conversation about, is it better to continue to play through, or is it better to have the week off to prepare? And we could argue that for
rest versus rust.
Right.
Well, the numbers show basically 50-50. But your tweet on the first place curse really got some play, didn't it?
Yeah,
got some action.
You know, I should have put an LOL or one of those little winking things with the
emoji.
Yeah, whatever that is, because I think a lot of people took that literally, and I was just looking at it somewhat whimsically or sarcastically. Of course, you want to finish first if you can, but there are, again, that doesn't give you an automatic pipeline to a Grey Cup game, let alone a victory. It's the Rider teams that have won Grey Cups have not been the best teams regular season-wise. The Rider team, the only Rider team that finished first and won a Grey Cup was 9-6-1, and Ottawa was 11-3 that year. So even then, it was an upset. And then they win out of the number three hole in 1989.
07.
And then number two in 07.
Oh, and number two in 07, yeah.
Number two in 07, and then number two. Although, that 2013 team was a lot better than even 11-7. If Corey Sheets doesn't get hurt, that's a great battle for first place with Calgary. But the 3.8 games that Corey Sheets missed that year were pretty huge.
Producer Clark, are these two Cowboys sticking with us in hour two, or are we saying goodbye to one? Okay, they're both with us coming back for hour two. So hang on, boys, and our viewers and listeners. We'll be right back with hour two. And that includes Kirk Myers, our curling insider, and Brendan Batchelor, the voice of the Vancouver Canucks, as well as our WHL prospect profile for Sask Snowbeef. Hang on, we'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 106 on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.